listening to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast, the best place to break the ice with your favorite players.
Andonovsky rink wide for Smith. Thrown back up ice, Corey Andonovsky dashing down the right, passes in front, they score! Evan Vierling!
So get loud, get fired up, and get ready to rock with your host, Nick Hart.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of your Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast and our final episode of the 2023-24 season. These seasons fly by, folks. I don't need to tell you that, but this is the end of the line for us here, at least for the podcast. We're going to let the rest of the season, regular season, and however deep the playoffs go, we're just going to leave the players to focus on the task at hand, which is, of course, winning as many games as possible and going deep, deep, deep into those Calder Cup playoffs. But for our final episode, we have with us today one of the Penguins forwards who has stepped up in a major way here in their push to the playoffs. A new face, a new name to the club for many of you, but a name that many people have memorized at this point with his play lately for the Black and Gold. I'm talking, of course, about Evan Vierling. Vierzy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the podcast. How is everything going?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been awesome so far. Just so happy to be here, and everyone's been so welcoming. So, just so pumped.
Yeah, I'm glad you're having a good time, and we'll talk a little bit about your run here this season, but just particularly this stretch that you've gone on as of late it's got everybody talking out here in Northeast Pennsylvania, the hockey fans. A 4-game point streak to start your AHL career, 5 points in those 4 games. We knew that Evan Vierling was always in the toy chest whenever we signed you last summer. You were down with the Penguins ECHL affiliate for a while, but now that we've gotten to see number 41 in action, everyone's just over the moon about the production. The numbers say one thing, but I'll ask you here right off the hop, how much fun has this been just coming up and not only picking up points, but the team winning some games too to start your AHL career?
Yeah, I think just obviously the points is good, but just that we're winning right now and going on a big win streak here makes it that much more fun for me. And yeah, it's just been really special for me to be here and the start that we've had. So it's awesome.
And, you know, players, whether they're veteran or younger, you don't get to where you are right now without having a little bit of confidence to you and a little bit of belief in yourself. Like, yeah, I belong. Yeah, I can do this. But how reassuring was that for you to kind of get those points right off the hop here and kind of maybe not show to other people, but to yourself, like, heck yeah, I belong here in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Just, coming here, you just want to make a good first impression. And that was kind of what I wanted to do. And obviously just scoring my second game kind of cooled my nerves a bit. I'm obviously really nervous in the first couple of games, but obviously just doing everything I can to fit in and help us win.
You mentioned being a little bit nervous before the first game. How were you feeling? Were you still able to go through the routine? Like, what was a game day like for you whenever you knew you were in the lineup and getting your first taste of the AHL?
Yeah, it was. I tried to just make it similar. I did everything pretty much the same. Just a little bit too excited for my pregame nap, so that was the only struggle I had was falling asleep. But other than that, I kind of just stick to my routine and made that day the same as any other day.
Any other day. What's part of the routine? What are the bullet points that you're like, I have to hit this in order to be in the zone for a game?
Normally it's like if it's optional morning skate. I'm a hit or miss. I'm not too superstitious about morning skate, but my first game I ended up skating, and then just before
with us with Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah,
well, okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then just before the game, tip my stick right when I get to the rink, and then just do my warm up, make sure I'm hydrated, and just go from there.
Styled in and ready to go for peak performance.
Exactly.
Peak performance. And that's what we've seen here from Evan Vierling with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. But want to wind things back now to kind of the steps that you've taken here this season, because primarily you've spent this year with the Penguins ECHL affiliate, the Wheeling Nailers. And you're not alone in that regard. There have been, I think one great thing that you hear people talk about with this organization in particular is that they really do try and use the ECHL as a way to shepherd players along instead of just like, well, we're not worried about this guy anymore. Let's just fire him down to the coast. Like, that's not what Pittsburgh, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Wheeling is all about. I'm sure you want to jump out hot off the starting blocks to start your pro career, but you end up in Wheeling to start the season. You're meeting the staff down there, new teammates, and playing pro hockey for the first time. What were kind of those first just few weeks like for you and the adjustment from going to junior to the pros?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot different. I think just normally I'm used to like living with a billet. Just having meals made for me for the most part. So it was definitely different. Just, you know, I'm going to the grocery store now and making my own food. So that was different. But just the guys down there are so awesome. The coach, Derek Army, just makes me love going to the rink every day. And just my development down there was good. Just like you said, they didn't just throw me down there and say like whatever. They're still in close contact with me. They're working with me, working on my game. And I think that that's kind of shown in the past four games here is that, just the development process has been really beneficial for me.
When you say they were in contact with you, who were the people that were mostly still keeping that line of communication open?
I think just with the development staff and the development staff for the most part, like Fritch and stuff was coming down and seeing us, the skating coaches, TK came down, Butts came down. So when they're coming down and seeing us down there, it's the guys love it. So
guys love it. I'm sure it probably gives you that boost. Like, I'm not a castaway out here. They're invested in my improvement as a player from day one with Wheeling to now where we are with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Do you feel like you're even a better hockey player than you were when you showed up at the start of the season?
I do. I think I'm a more rounded player now. I think I can take care of both ends of the ice. Definitely I just feel more rounded and really confident in my game right now.
And you already brought up one individual that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is Derek Army. I feel like Arms should be paying me some money underneath the table, because now I think you're the third straight guest that we've had on the podcast that has unsolicited given a shout out to Derek Army. I knew it was going to be coming, so I was already prepared to ask you just to kind of dive in a little bit more to how Derek has helped you here this season, because everybody who's had a chance to work with Derek, whether it is here on the podcast or on intermission interviews for the radio, has been loving their experience down there with the former Penguin and now bench boss of the Nailers.
Yeah, I think just he's been really good for me. I think just at the beginning of the year, there was times that I wasn't playing my best, and he kind of, like, he's just forcing me to compete, and I think that's the biggest thing that is going to get me to the next level. So he didn't allow me not to compete. And then just in the defensive zone, like, he's always doing video with me, working with me on that side of the game. And like when I was first down there, I was struggling offensively a little bit, but I was kind of just more focused on the defensive end. And once I kind of figured that out, and obviously trusting me more, like, then I was getting put out in different types of situations. He's just been so good for me. Just really rounded up my game for me.
And you talk about him forcing you to compete. His love for the game is absolutely infectious. I know, you know, any coach isn't going to put themselves in a position where they're grinding through tape for hours into the night, early morning, or riding the buses from town to town. They're not going to do it if they don't love the game. But Derek just feels like he has a completely different zest, almost like I'm almost hesitant to use this comparison considering the legend in this organization, but kind of that Badger Bob feeling of like, it's a great day for hockey. He just wakes up, he shows up to the rink, and that energy, that enthusiasm, you can't help but kind of grab a piece of it yourself whenever he's around.
Yeah, 100%. Just every day comes in with such enthusiasm and excitement, and it makes me just love going to the rink. And he's actually, I find my passion for hockey has grown just because of him. So yeah, it's been great.
I hope JD doesn't get jealous with how much we're talking about Derek Army on the podcast this season. Hopefully the Penguins bench boss doesn't mind us giving Derek those shout outs there. But you say he's kind of even helped you grow your love for the game this season. As a good old Canadian boy, I'm sure it's kind of like built in that you grow up loving hockey, watching hockey on TV. But where did you kind of first grab a hold of the game? Like, where did that first passion kind of click? Was it as natural as, yeah, I'm a Canadian kid? Or was there a player, a game, or a moment or something where it really clicked to you? Like, yeah, this is the best.
I think when I was 4 years old, my parents would always take me out to an outdoor rink that was just across the street. Mm-hmm. And then my dad ended up building one for every year till I was probably 13. So I found the love on the back rink, backdoor rink, for the most part, and just being out there for hours, just with friends and family back there. And then player-wise, I always loved watching Crosby, of course.
Okay, yeah. It's a frequent answer we get here.
And like Jonathan Toews as well, Patrick Kane.
Ooh, okay.
Those two guys I really idolized.
That Chicago dynasty, yeah, if you will, Toews and Kane, kind of the yin and the yang. You got the responsible guy down the middle of the ice who would do whatever it took to win, and Patrick Kane, who was the fireworks, stellar offensive talent there. And you talk about playing on the rink until, you know, however many hours on end. What was the back in your day, if I may, back in your day, what was the signal that it was time to get off the ice? Was it the street lights come on? Was it mom's calling you back for dinner? When did everybody know, all right, game's over, we gotta beat it?
It was my backyard rink was like way at the backyard, so my mom would like open the back door and yell at me to
and scream like, all right, dinner. That's it, wrap it up, dinner.
And then I'd be back out there, and if I had school the next day, then they'd have to shut it down. But there's a few times that I'd go out before school too.
A little bright and early.
Yeah, bright and early. But yeah, usually dinner is when my mom would shut it down.
Dinner was the signal. All right, we're done. It's over. But then you just one sleep later, you're jumping out there before school.
That's right.
That's awesome. That's the game in its purest form, if you will. The backdoor rink, the local community pond, or whatever. I wanted to shuffle things back to the start of the season, okay? And this isn't necessarily for you. It's for myself. Back at Penguins training camp, Pittsburgh Penguins training camp. Or no, this was development camp.
Yeah.
And I took some time to talk with Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins general manager Eric Heasley, okay, to talk about a number of free agent signings that Pittsburgh had just made in addition to the AHL contracts that Wilkes-Barre Scranton already had in the books at this point. So this is after the start of the free agency window. So Joona Koponen and Ryan Shea, those guys already signed by Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then Avery Hayes and yourself were already locked up to your AHL deals for this season with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And E was kind of just going through scouting reports for each individual player here. And this is what Eric had to say about Evan Vierling all the way back at development camp of this year. He's okay. So Evan Vierling, former high pick in the OHL draft, pick of the New York Rangers. We've been trying to target some young guys with potential, and to sign an Evan Vierling to an AHL contract was intriguing to us. His skill set is more than capable for pro hockey. For a guy who's 6'1", he's already pretty filled out. There's some serious potential there. He just had a breakout year offensively, over 90 points. And we like Evan a lot as a person, too. We think he can grow into being a great pro hockey player, and we're more than willing to bet on that. This is all the way back in development camp. Now, here we are in April. Wilkes-Barre Scranton's on the cusp of a playoff run. You're over a point per game to start your AHL career. When you kind of think back to where you were starting in the position that you were in, say, in the summer, and you're thinking to get things going and start pro, how did things kind of come together with this organization to put you in the black and gold?
Yeah, I think it's been great. Obviously, just being in Pitt and starting off there in camp, and I was actually able to do a practice with Crosby up there, so that was pretty damn cool for me.
Yeah, well, I believe it.
And then just being there, I got into a exhibition game against Columbus, so that was also really cool. And then just being in Wilkes, meeting the coaches here and all the guys. And then, just obviously being sent down to Wheeling. It was, I think, a blessing in disguise for me, just being down there and rounding up my game. And now I'm here and I'm ready to go and comfortable with my game right now.
When did the organization start to first show interest in you?
I think it was the ending of my season last year.
Okay.
I think it was obviously going through my agent, but I signed in May, so it was a couple weeks after my season.
were there other fish, you know, nibbling around that rod, or I should say other rods in the water trying to hook you? Or were you like, all right, that contract's coming from the Penguins organization, we're going right there?
Yeah, I think your second option there, obviously, with Pittsburgh, that's one of the best organizations that you can go to. So
yeah,
it's a really competitive organization. I think they've treated me so well just from top to bottom. So right from when they offered, I was like, yep.
There we go. Sounds good.
Exactly.
Where do I sign? Yeah. And you got an old buddy joining you now too, Bo Jelsma. We just saw him out on the ice today. Barry Colt's teammate of yours. You're the first person we get to ask. What's the deal with Bo? What can we expect from him?
Yeah, I think he's an extremely hard worker. He can score goals. He's a great dude off the ice. But yeah, he's a hard worker, can score goals, make plays, and great compete level.
Great compete level and can score goals. That kind of stuff will endear you to the people of Northeast Pennsylvania in short order. In case you missed it, folks, Bo Jelsma signed to an amateur tryout agreement just yesterday. We're putting this out on Thursday. Just Wednesday. And so newest member to this Penguins organization. It is a gargantuan roster right now for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, not just with the regular players that you've seen all year, but now some of these draft picks or unsigned college free agents joining the club on amateur tryout agreements. I think we're at 33 or 34 bodies at this point just listed on the roster, names on the roster, but nobody else on the roster boasts a Will Hanley Award or a CHL Sportsmanship Award. You were named the most sportsmanlike player in the Ontario Hockey League last year. And I don't want to ask you about winning the award because I'm sure you're like, yeah, it was great. Wonderful honor, right? We can bypass all of that. But where does that side of your game kind of come from? Was that kind of coached into you at a young age? Is that your natural demeanor? Is that something that your parents kind of reiterated to you as you were climbing the rungs in back in Ontario? Like, where does the award-winning sportsmanship side of Evan Vierling's game kind of originate from?
Yeah, I think it would be my parents. Just it's kind of just the way I am.
Yeah,
I try to play hard in between the whistles and try to stay out of the penalty box and yeah,
just stay out of the box, man. Don't want to end up in trouble, because that's the thing too. I mean, I think coaches sometimes, what's the word I want to use? Like, there's the good penalty that you can take in terms of like, all right, that directly prevented a goal, we'll take the 2 minutes to try and kill it off kind of thing. And then I've heard like even JD say this before, like if you're just grinding, battling, and the referee gives you a penalty essentially just for working too hard, or you cross that line just a little bit too much where it's going to be a 2 minute penalty, we're okay with that, we'll kill that off. We don't want to be taking penalties where guys are lazy, stick fouls, things of that nature. But if you can compete between the whistles, bring your best game, and stay out of the box, that's like an underrated weapon, if you will, in a player's arsenal that I think sometimes gets overlooked sometimes. There should be more of an appreciation of someone who can bust their back end while also staying out of the box, not putting their team a man behind. It's easy to stay out of the box if you're not trying, if you're not giving a crap. You're also probably not going to stay in the lineup for very long either, if that's the case. Like that's an added weapon and, dare I even say, skill to be able to work hard and not accrue penalty after penalty.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I try to just stay out all the stuff after the whistle and on the ice try to keep my feet moving when I'm around a guy so I can't get called for a hook or a trip or. I say this now and watch next game. I guess.
Oh yeah, no, I'm for sure we're gonna jinx it now, right?
Yeah, no, but just do my best to try to stay out of the box.
Well, now we're gonna see if we can get your mind running here. We know your legs churn just great, but we're gonna see how the brain's working here, because Veers, what we have here is a recurring segment on the podcast where I have the previous episode's guest leave a blind question for the next episode's guest.
Okay.
They do not know who they are asking this to. That's part of the rules, so they can't target somebody. But I do say the question can be about anything in the world, right?
Okay.
No topic is off limits. Well, this season, we're ending the podcast the same way that we have done this so many times this season. People already know where I'm going with this, and that is we were given another riddle. To the point where the riddles have infected the locker room in the back. Strength coach Connor Keenan has riddles written on his whiteboard almost every single day for guys to try to figure out. Here on the podcast, we have another riddle from our previous episode's guest. And Virzi, it is up to you to finish the season strong. Can you represent the riddle receivers with pride, or will the riddle givers get the final leg up at the end of the season? This is a lot of pressure, my friend.
This is a lot.
The heat's turned up.
I'm going to do my best.
Heat's turned up. Are you ready for me to pop the question?
Let's do it.
All right. Here is your riddle, Evan Vierling. What is lighter than a feather but impossible to hold for much more than a minute? What is lighter than a feather but is just about impossible to hold for more than a minute?
Oh, man. Something hot, I'm guessing. That's
okay. So it's light, but you can't hold it because it's hot. Hot.
Yes.
I will say this, too. I am not a big fan of the way this riddle is phrased. I've got a reputation with Connor in the back as the riddle buster, because sometimes I'm like, no, this doesn't actually make sense, or this is an intentional misdirect, needs to be direct. I'm not sure if impossible for more than a minute is necessarily fair. I would say it's extremely difficult to hold for more than a minute, but impossible seems unlikely. Impossible is a strong word.
Yeah.
Lighter than a feather, just about impossible to hold for more than a minute.
I don't know if I'm going to get it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You can take your time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lighter than a feather, impossible to hold for more than a minute.
I have no clue.
You are clueless.
Yeah.
Are you waving the white flag here?
Yeah. I was going to say like...
Yeah, you got to at least swing the bat.
Like, you can't hold lava, but like...
No, you can't. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. But is that lighter than a feather?
No. I don't know. Oh, with like a leaf with like poison ivy on it?
A leaf with poison ivy on it. Like, you can't hold on to it because the sapling's going to get into you and rash up your fingers. Well, is that the answer you're going to lock in?
Yeah, that's the answer.
Leaf with poison ivy on it is not the correct answer. Yeah. I am sorry, Evan. The answer that our riddle giver was looking for is your breath. Lighter than a feather, but you can't hold it for much more than a minute. Your breath.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Hold your breath. How long do you think you could hold your breath? Because this is where I have a problem with the phrasing of this riddle.
Probably longer than a minute if I had to do
that. That's what I mean. Like, if I was submerged underwater, completely screwed, unless I find a way out, I feel like I can hold it for more than a minute. It would be distressing.
Yeah.
It would not be a fun time. I feel like I could get over a minute.
Yeah.
But
I
remember a couple years ago, me and some buddies, we always do a challenge for our fantasy football draft ahead of time. You determine the draft order via challenge. And one of the years was like you needed to hold your head underwater in a bucket of ice, hold it for as long as you can, and whoever came out on top, like, here's how we're determining the draft order. And the first couple guys who went in would go down, hold in their breath, pop back up and be like, oh, how long was that? And we're like, 12 seconds. They're like, no way. I was down there for at least 40 seconds. They're like, no, not even close. Maybe it just feels longer whenever you're in distress like that.
That would make sense.
That would make sense too.
Yeah.
But I don't like the phrasing of that riddle, but unfortunately, I can't give you the win.
Yeah.
I can't give you the win.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to me either.
It goes to the riddle givers have it here in the final episode of this season of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. And if you don't mind me interrupting our conversation here, Evan, I do have to give a mention to our sponsor here on the podcast, the Fairfield Inn and Suites, Wilkes-Barre Scranton, which strives to be your home away from home when traveling. I mean, Virzi, you know all about travel, being away from home, the late nights, arriving in a different town or going back and forth team to team. How important is it that you feel comfortable whenever you're traveling?
Oh, it's so important.
It's massive.
Yeah, it's so important.
It's massive. And do you know about the Fairfield Guarantee?
I don't.
I'll tell you all about it, my friend. The Fairfield Guarantee is that they promise that you will be satisfied with your stay. And on the off chance that everything, the way it's set up, isn't exactly the way that you imagined, the way you wanted it to be, they will make sure to make it right. That, my friend, is the Fairfield Guarantee, and the Fairfield Inn and Suites Wilkes-Barre Scranton is located right on Kidder Street, fewer than 2 miles away from O'Hagan Sun Arena at Casey Plaza, where you can see the Penguins play not only here in their final games of their 25th season, but also in the upcoming 2024 Calder Cup playoffs. Give them a call today at 570-208-4455, the Fairfield Inn and Suites Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Sorry for that minor interruption there, but I'll tie it in here. A smooth segue to your hotel living right now, called up from Wheeling. What do you do to pass your time whenever you're not at the rink here practicing? What makes Evan Vierling tick when he's not at the rink?
I'm watching a lot of Netflix right now.
Okay, what's on the tube?
I'm watching The Last Kingdom.
Oh, which one is that? I know
it's
this.
It's like the Viking show.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I just finished the first season, so I'm enjoying it.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Are you a big shows guy, movies guy? You're just whatever's on.
Yeah, but
where do you lean?
A bit of both. Like I love movies and I love shows.
Yeah, you're just whatever's on.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
So Last Kingdom, give us the elevator pitch here. I know you said it's the Viking show, but like if someone hasn't seen it and you want to get them into it, what do you tell them?
It's just like it's the main character. His name's Uhtred, and he's basically just it's like how they lived and how someone of his nature just survives, and it's crazy. They pretty much just have no fear, and yeah, it's hard for me to understand at times just because they talk so much like differently.
Really? Like they do heavy accent work, or do you have to like straight up put on the subtitles?
It's not so much accent. It's more just like the way that they describe things.
Okay.
It's a lot different back then, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's like pretty historically accurate, easy for me to say.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so history buffs would be into it. People who like intense survival like stuff, no fear style television.
Exactly,
that's right up their alley too. What's the best movie or show you watched this season during a binge?
I loved Breaking Bad.
Did you just watch that for the first time, or you want to rewatch?
A rewatch. I watched that first, probably 2021. First time I watched it, but yeah, on a rewatch right now.
You're on a rewatch right now, dude. Yeah. It is still the best television show that I have gotten to experience live. I know some people will be like, "Oh, The Wire is the best show ever." I didn't watch The Wire when it was like on. The Sopranos was the best show. I didn't watch The Sopranos when it was on. I remember it was like an event. This is another thing that's lost. I'll get on my soapbox right now. Now that everything is streaming right now and you drop a whole season at once and you can just binge them all at once, it was a genuine event whenever a new episode of whatever the hot show was at the time would come out, whether it was The Sopranos the next day at the water cooler at work. All anyone was talking about was the episode of The Sopranos from the night before. In the case of Breaking Bad, I was in college at the time. That last season, we were the only place of our friend group that had, like, cable. So everyone would just come over to our apartment to watch that episode of Breaking Bad. And then that night, I'd call my buddies that I used to play hockey with, and we'd be talking about the episode. You'd wake up the next morning, you'd read the review on Grantland of the last episode of Breaking Bad. Like, every single episode was an event. You had a little bit of that with Game of Thrones. That was like the last bastion of the water cooler talk television. Now that everything is so spread out from platform to platform, you can watch it all at once, or you can watch half the episodes today and half the episodes later. You don't get that like, it's more like, oh, did you see this show yet? Nah, I haven't gotten to it yet. It's on my list. That's now what every show is. It used to be like you would wake up in the morning, be so fired up to watch that show later that night. You'd wake up the following morning and talk about how awesome it was, or how confused you were, or how angry you were. Like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones, I feel like, were the last main event water cooler TV shows.
Yeah, I could see why.
What a time to be alive. Oh, what a show, man. What a show. Yeah. If you are out there and you have not watched Breaking Bad, what are you doing? What are you even doing? Did you watch Better Call Saul?
I haven't seen that one.
Put it to the top of your list.
My dad's, he loved it, and he keeps telling me to watch that one, but I haven't. Watch that one.
Propel it to the top of your list. Like, put it there in red ink, no eraser at all. Finish your rewatch of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different the way that it starts out. It's more of like, I don't want to say dry, but it's like a legal drama because it's more Jimmy McGill getting his start. He's not quite Saul Goodman yet. Okay. So there's a lot of dialogue that you got to pay attention to, but the character work is 11 out of 10. The cinematography, 11 out of 10. Like, Vince Gilligan is Picasso in my eyes. He can do no wrong. He's just hit nothing but grand slams every time he and his team have gone up to the plate. And then, similar to Breaking Bad, by the time you get to the end of Better Call Saul, it is a carousel that somebody put too much gasoline in, and it's just flying all over the place.
I'm excited.
Cannot recommend Better Call Saul to you, especially a guy who liked Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You have to check that out. You have to check it out. And absolutely mandatory viewing for any human being who likes television or viewings. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are more well-versed in the art of show running and filmmaking, more well-versed than I am, that could give like full-on TED Talks about how special the Breaking Bad universe is. But here on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast, we are no strangers to giving TED Talks either, which allows me now, Evan, to transition to another recurring segment that we have here on the show called Welcome to My TED Talk, where I ask my guest to give us an unprompted, unscripted TED Talk off the dome based on a number of prompts that we had printed out and set up prior to the season. Are you familiar with TED Talks?
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. So some genius or well-educated college professor or someone who is an expert in a certain field gets on stage, has the microphone, and explains a certain niche topic, maybe changes the way you think about it, or gets really down to the nitty-gritty of details that people might overlook. It's very informative, very educational. Here on the Penguins podcast, we try not to big brain it too much. We're not going for open heart surgery here or world geopolitics or anything like that. We try to keep our subjects a little bit lighter. Okay. But Evan, you are in, depending on how you want to look at it, the worst position that anyone has been in all season, or maybe the most favorable position that anyone has been in all season. Because this is our last edition of Welcome to My TED Talk, the rules are a little bit different for you than they were for your teammates prior this season. Okay. Prior this season, what I had everyone do is reach into this helmet filled with TED Talk prompts, okay? And you would pull out two prompts, and you would choose from one of those two prompts. And if you didn't like either of your two options, you could go in for a do-or-die third pick, but then you were locked in. You could not change after that.
Okay.
Evan, we're doing things a little bit different for you.
Okay.
You have all of the rejected TED Talk topics that your teammates did not want to use earlier this season. So instead of getting two, I have a bushel of papers that I saved from this season. And you could say, you know what? That looks great. I'll do a TED Talk on that. I don't know why this guy passed on this. You have way more than two options. But if you're looking at them and you're going, uh-oh, I can see why they passed on all of these. I will grant you the opportunity to reach into the helmet, but it is automatically a do or die. So it is a prompt that no one has seen so far, and you will be locked in.
Okay.
All right, so let's go through your options here to start. These are the rejected subjects that your teammates did not want. They chose something else. We have successful strategies to navigate the grocery store. Folding laundry. A TED Talk on folding laundry. Holidays ranked. A definitive ranking of holidays. Regret. A TED Talk on regret. Learning to shave. Concert etiquette. Proper way to behave at a concert amongst other people. Quality leadership. TED Talk on quality leadership. High school sports. Or the correct pizza toppings. Not necessarily the best or the most, but the correct pizza toppings. Evan, I will let you choose from these prompts. Or if you don't want to give us a TED Talk, once again, unscripted, unsolicited, I'm putting you right on the spot here. You didn't know about this ahead of time. If you don't like any of these, you can reach into the helmet and pull out a brand new one that no one has seen before, but then you are locked in.
Okay.
You are stuck with that one. How are you feeling about what I've just thrown at you?
I could do...
That's the thing. You have more options than anyone else before you, but these are the ones that they didn't want.
I can try maybe learning Learning how to shave.
Learning to shave. You want to give us a TED Talk on learning to shave?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go with that one, folks. So please, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for a TED Talk by Evan Vierling.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here today. I just want to talk to you about a very important topic, and that is learning how to shave. So I think for me, just I find I get some ingrown hairs. So the first thing that you want to get is something called 10 skin, and that's for the post shave. But to start off, I use the Gillette razor, and I usually shave like twice a week, I guess. And you're gonna wanna shave with the grain if you have sensitive skin, and then obviously, just if you wanna overlap twice and go against the grain, you can relather with shaving foam, and then go against it, and that should help without getting you ingrown hairs. And then after the fact, I use just a balm, like a moisturizing balm, and then just use the 10 skin, and it should help you with the ingrown hair part and rashes. So thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
There we go. I wasn't expecting so much product placement in this TED Talk, but I suppose it should be expected when something is so sensitive as shaving. I have fought that same battle as you, my friend, when it comes to the ingrown hairs, and I have sometimes it's like, nope, I figured it out, I've got the system down, and then I'll do it one time and it's just like, no, my entire face is a mess again. I mean, I've stuck with the beard now, like, mm-hmm. kind of full time since the pandemic, probably, is when I shifted to it full time. But you still got to like clean up the neck here and there, like still got to make it look pretty. I fight that battle all the time, man. When did you finally find a rhythm or a routine, if you will, where you were like, all right, now I've got it figured out. I don't feel like I'm fighting my face all the time.
This past summer, I went to like a pharmacy, and she recommended this product, and it's actually been like life-saving for me.
Life-saving. Yeah. What did you say it was again?
10 skin, it's called.
10 skin. Yeah. Can we get it here, or is this like a Canadian special?
Yeah. No, I get it here too.
Find it here.
Yeah, it's cheaper here than it was for me back home.
Oh, so, double pump there. Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah. I love that. When did you first learn to shave? How old were you when you had to first break out the razor?
I was probably 16. 16? First time. Yeah.
High school, locked in there.
Yeah.
Old man give you the tips?
Or yeah, my dad. Yeah. My dad usually, or did help me, with shaving.
Gives you all the tips, all the do's and don'ts, if you do, so you don't have to encounter them on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some things that would work for him don't work for me, but it's the way it goes. Everyone's skin's different.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like we've all, or at least those of us that do shave, have gone through that battle. Someone tells you to do it this way, you try it, and you go like, no, this stinks. Exactly. This isn't the way to do it. And that guy's got it figured out for himself. Yeah. You got to go through
everyone has their own way.
Go through a little trial and error to figure it out for yourself. But no real trial and error for you here on your first TED Talk. You weren't expecting me to hit you with that either. But I think you handled yourself rather well.
Yeah, okay, good.
You do any public speaking of any kind whenever you were in school or anything like that?
We did speeches once a year in school, so that was kind of the big...
a year?
Yeah, just we'd have more presentations that we would have to do throughout the year, but we had this one that was just one speech. You would pick a topic.
You got to pick your topic?
Yeah.
What do you remember picking?
I did... one year I did Jonathan Taves.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the thesis of the speech?
I think just like his career, and like obviously I had to do like a lot of research on him, and just how he is as a person, just his stats throughout his career and all that kind of stuff.
This is the most hockey guy presentation that I can imagine. Just picking your favorite hockey player and then telling your whole class about your favorite hockey player.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how many projects I did when I was in first, second, third, all the way on grades like Jaromir Jagr. Like, my other classmates were probably like, dude, we get it. You like hockey. But I feel like that's just what hockey people do, man.
Yeah, it's what I was comfortable talking about. So that's kind of why I would lean towards hockey for those types of speeches.
Did you get a good grade?
I don't remember. Hopefully.
We'll say yes.
Yeah,
we'll say yes. A plus. Yeah. A plus from Evan Vierling. Yeah. And an A plus performance here for you on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. Evan, I know you have some other obligations here this afternoon, so I'm going to let you go in a little bit. There's still one last thing that we have to do here on the Penguins podcast. And for the last time this season, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to give you some Pens picks.
Pens picks.
Veerzy, it is at this time in every episode where I ask my guests to provide our listeners with a recommendation that they can give the fans. I know you've already hit us with some TV shows and some aftershave products, but this is something that you want to give a shout out to, give some recognition to, something that you feel like deserves some serious love here as your final statement on the Penguins podcast. What is your Pens pick?
Anything. I'm going to say Chipotle. It's been, been really good to me the past couple weeks, especially just being in a hotel right now. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Chipotle.
Shout out to Chippies. And we'll throw the Last Kingdom. And what was the aftershave there, too?
Ten Skin.
Those are Pens picks from Evan Vierling here. I'll give a couple shout-outs, too, given that this is our last episode of the season. I can't believe I do Pens picks at the end of all of these episodes, and I have yet this entire time to give a Pens pick to Amber Mark, a musician who many of you may not know, but you should familiarize yourself with. She's just dropped a new single the other week, and that's what kind of inspired this. It's like, all right, I'm excited for more Amber Mark music to be coming. She's funky. She's soulful. She's a little trippy. If you're into that kind of stuff, I'd say check it out, Amber Mark. Wonderful stuff from her. Her last record was incredible. I think that came out 2 years ago. And then also a Pens pick to my producers, not here for the podcast, but when I'm on the radio, whenever you people are listening to Penguins Hockey on WIOK News Radio, you hear me shouting out EJ the Cobra Samuel and George Peralta back at the studio all the time. Those guys have been a massive help to me this season in making sure not only that we're on the air, but making sure that things are going as planned. And then whenever things do not go according to plan, it's never their fault. It's usually either my fault or things get shaken around on game night and nobody lets the radio guy know that we're now pushing back the anthem by 10 minutes or the commercial breaks are longer or shorter than they're supposed to be. They always find a way to make sure everything goes without a hiccup at all. So big shout out to EJ the Cobra Samuel and Georgie Peralta. Those are my final Pens picks, and that's all we got for you here with Evan Vierling, and that's all we got for you on the Penguins podcast so far this season. Evan, I always forget to do this too. I shan't forget once again here in our last episode. Do you have any social media handles for people to follow you at should you wish to be followed?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. I think my username's Evan, EvanVierling41 or Evan.Vierling41.
Check him out on the gram, ladies and gentlemen, and check him out here in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins push to the playoffs. They have already clinched a berth in this year's Calder Cup playoffs, but our final two home games of the season coming up this Friday and this Saturday at Mohegan Sun Arena at Casey Plaza, and then, of course, the postseason when the game gets really fun and really intense. Evan and the rest of the boys in the back are looking to make it a long spring of hockey here in Northeast Pennsylvania. Evan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today. I know I appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate it so much. Congrats on what's been a hot start so far this season. Can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Say goodbye to the people.
Bye, people.
Bye, people. And thank you so much for listening all season long, ladies and gentlemen. We'll catch you with more episodes of the podcast next year, but we'll see you at the rink in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen. I will bid you adieu. Let's have some fun in the playoffs.